Hi, everybody. So this is Allison. Welcome to this introductory call about the 2015 Mastery and Certification Program. The first thing I want you to know is this is not meant to be like a general overview kind of call, although I'm willing to give general overviews. I'm really making myself available to answer the questions or address the concerns and provide the information you need to make such a big decision. So what I'm going to do is actually give you the mic individually and just check in and see what is it that you're hoping I'll talk about or a particular question that you would like me to answer. So this is the longest list of questions that I've ever gotten, and I love it. I love your questions. I'm very moved by your interest and your commitment. We have a bunch of questions about Heroes Challenge specifically, so I'm going to save those for the last. So those of you who aren't interested in Heroes Challenge, you can drop off so you know that. All right, so let me start with talking a little bit about the structure of the program, and that should address some of the challenges with being in mastery and the time commitment and where some of those, where there's places where it will compress and not take as much time and places where it will take more time. So as I expressed earlier, to Claudia, the first weekend is mandatory, and if you're going to be certified in a topic, all the weekends are mandatory. If you're in community education and something happens where you don't come to a weekend, you're not considered to have completed mastery. And so you definitely don't want to plan on missing a weekend. People have emergencies sometimes and miss weekends, and if they want to complete the program, they come back and do that weekend the following year. The question about, given all the different topics that people are working on, how do I divide my time in the weekends? And the answer is I don't divide my time, because in the weekends, we're not working on the content. We're not working on what topic you're teaching to your friends and your family or in your community or in your profession. Those happen exclusively on all the telephone calls. So what we're working on the weekends is not what you're teaching, but how you're teaching. So that's why they're called the transformational teaching skills weekends. So what we're working on is what distinguishes someone who intends to transform people's lives, not merely transmit interesting information. What distinguishes getting into people's hearts and minds? How do you actually change the way that people see the world? And what does it require of you as a human being to be that kind of teacher? So the weekends are really about the kind of honesty, authenticity, energy, connection, and sometimes intensity, definitely compassion. So the weekends are all about who are you being, so that people can allow you to teach them, because if they won't let you, nothing's going to happen. So what causes people to let you touch their lives? And it's also about certain skills that really matter. So, for example, anything that you want people to shift their relationship to and to lock it in, so that action, it becomes easier to act than to not act, it's going to involve emotion. And what evokes emotion are stories. And every weekend, we work on stories and your ability to construct and tell and connect with people through stories that change their view of themselves, of the opposite sex, of life, of the world. How do you do that? And we work on that in part of every weekend. We also work on things like bridging. Bridging has to do with how do you connect with people who don't believe what you believe, don't come from where you come from, don't may have a different religion, a different family background, a different economic background, a different ethnicity, a different age, a different gender. How do you bridge? How do you connect with people in a way that honors you and honors them? So that's another important skill that we work on. We also work on other skills that allow transformation. For example, how do you have a workshop or a seminar where the speaker is doing 90% of the speaking? How do you have that feel like a dialogue that the audience is completely participating in? How do you do that? How do you not have it be a lecture? So the weekends are all about how you teach what you teach. Where are you coming from? What are you paying attention to? And what do you need to be able to do? So what happens is you come to every weekend having prepared two things. You prepare a talk for Friday, and everybody is up on stage on Friday for 1.5 to 2 minutes. And we always give you the homework. We tell you what to prepare. And then you prepare a teaching, is what we call it, for Saturday. And you don't have to, well, you still have to do this on the first weekend. So you prepare a teaching for Saturday, which is what you use to practice all the new skills with. And so the variety of topics that people are engaged in actually makes those teachings on Saturday way more fun. When everyone was studying the same topic, which happened for the first 6 mastery programs, everyone was learning the same things at the same time, people got kind of bored. Or they would see interesting twists on the same topic, but they were frustrated because they weren't learning anything new. So the advantage of everyone being in different topics is during the weekends when people are practicing their storytelling, practicing their teaching techniques, practicing their ability to connect and to have people experience being spoken to as if they're the person that the leader is talking to. All these things we work on, people are doing that through teaching from the topics they're learning. And so the people in their groups, or what we call their pies, when it's a big group, they get to learn all these different topics. And it's really cool. And we're together. We don't split up into different rooms. We do a lot of group work in the weekends. So there's trio work, there's groups of 4, and there's groups of 10. Depending on what weekend it is and what skills we're working on. So the challenges, obviously, for the weekends are getting there. And we try to make this as easy as possible for people and still fulfill the intentions of the program. So that's why we start at 2 o'clock on Friday, because for many people, Friday is their lightest day, their easiest day to get off work, and Monday is when they most need to be back at work. So we end at 4 o'clock on Sunday so that people can catch evening flights. Some people catch red-eye flights and show up to work on Monday morning and muscle through it. But we start at 2 p.m. on Friday and end at 4 p.m. on Sunday. Other challenge of the weekends is getting to the different cities. Originally, we had mastery just in Los Angeles, and the burden of travel was on everybody else. Now that we have people coming from all over the country and even from outside of the country, we try to share the burden. And we're still U.S.-centric, but we try to move it around. We've had participants from Central America, Mexico, all over Canada, Australia, Hong Kong, Hong Kong, Jamaica, London, Denmark, Switzerland. it's an international program. So that's why we have one of the weekends in each of the four U.S. time zones. And we start in Dallas because the Dallas team loves to launch mastery and source mastery, and they will take care of you in a way that you may have never experienced in your life. They're amazing. They have a launch party, dinner. They coordinate rides from the airport to the party, back to the hotel. They're just off the charts excited about mastery and take care of people. And then we come to Denver, and we come to Denver in May. It's a beautiful place to be, and we encourage you to stay over and enjoy the Rockies. We do that, frankly, because it helps my schedule. I'm leading 4 out of 5 weekends in May, and I am just an hour plane ride from Denver. Now, the September workshop is East Coast, Eastern Time Zone. Sorry, not East Coast. It's Eastern Time Zone to be announced, to be determined, actually. And December is Pacific Time Zone to be determined. And literally how we determine that is we plot on a map where everyone in the Eastern Time Zone lives, who we want to give a break to because they've been coming west all this time. And everybody who's coming even east of Eastern, so Europe, for example, and we plot it on a map, and we find the airport hub that would be the least expensive for those folks to get to. And we've been in Atlanta, we've been in New Jersey, and, you know, we could potentially be in Boston, but not likely because September is extremely expensive in Boston. But we try to find an airport hub with low rates for accommodations. We'll do the same thing with the Pacific time zone. It depends on where people are coming from, where we locate ourselves in the Pacific time zone in Denver in December. If there's something else about that. Oh, accommodations. Some people don't like it that we're not in a snazzy hotel. But, again, we're trying to help people out with the cost of mastery since you're responsible for your travel and accommodations and your meals, and it's not included in your tuition. So we don't go for the snazziest hotel. We're not in a dump either. We try to be much more middle of the road, and we try to work out a deal with the hotel because of our folks coming in. Okay, so that's the weekend part and addresses some of the issues in there. Then there's the calls. So, like I said, the content itself, what you're teaching, is introduced and furthered in the what we call topic calls. So this is written up on the website, but the first call is when you learn the new topic. There's 8 topics in every topic series. So everybody's learning their first topic in the same week. So we're all on the same cycle. So you learn your topic the first week. Then you take the questions that we've given you in the first weekend, and you go out and research the topic. So you're talking to people, you're observing people, you're observing yourself. You're seeing how the topic applies to you. You're sharing the topic with other people and asking what they see in the topic. It's a really fun process, and it warms people up to what you're doing. It attracts people to come to your teachings. And then you come back in the second week to what's called share research. And that's where we share with each other what we learned so that everybody is richer. So everyone else who's in your topic series, you have a chance to contribute to what you've learned and be contributed to by them with what you've learned so that the wealth of material you have to make up your teachings from is expanded. Then you have a week off. And the idea, mastery is really intense because you go from student to teacher really fast. So you learn it, you research it, and the following week you're out teaching people. You're formulating your agenda, which we teach you our way of doing that in the first weekend. We give you a whole model for creating your talk, and then you're out teaching it. And many people will teach on the same night that they normally have a call, but we recommend teaching many times, and you can teach on the phone one-on-one. You can teach on the phone on using free conference lines. Many people do that. You can teach in person one-on-one, or you can teach in person groups. And you can teach any of those four ways, and we ask you to keep track. That's the only statistics we keep in our program, is how many people are you teaching and under what circumstances. So to the question of where do you find these people, it depends on what you're committed to. So if you're committed to the transformation of your family and your friends, then that's where you focus. If it's about your neighborhood, you may be inviting people in your neighborhood to meet at the community center, or you're putting up flyers, or you might have a neighborhood Yahoo group or Facebook page or something. Many people teach in their churches. They arrange it with their minister that they're going to do a teaching every 5 weeks of the topic that they're working on. We have people who like to teach to service groups who are always looking for speakers. So they're teaching, you know, to Rotary and Lions Clubs and the real estate group. They teach to groups. We have a lot of people, and we have people who can help you with this, tell you how to do it. We have a lot of people who use Meetup. So they register their classes in Meetup, and they teach through that. I'd asked a question, I can't remember who it was, one of our Virginia humans, about does she already participate in Virginia, because in the Washington, D.C. area, because we have now 17 active PACS communities between the U.S. and Canada, and there's one very active one in Washington, D.C., and in Dallas, and Los Angeles, and San Diego, amongst others. If you want to know where they are, you would go to our website, and under Get Involved, you would look at communities. And it has an icon there for every one of the PACS communities. And so what will happen when you're in Mastery is you connect with your PACS community, and often what we'll do is the team will support the Mastery teaching events because they're thrilled that you're participating in Mastery. And so they'll have teams in the community that are sponsoring those events. So that's another place to go. We have people who really mastered getting people together, and they're often many of them are coaches for Mastery. And so one of the things you can use your coaching call for each topic cycle is to talk to them about getting more people together. But we have folks right now it's pretty typical. 18% of the people who've been taught this year in Mastery were under the age of 18. So a lot of people teach in schools as well. Senior centers need speakers. It's as you go through Mastery, you may be more challenged with the demand for you to speak than with gathering people to speak. We've had people who started in their living room that ended up booking the library because they started with 5 people, and then the next month everyone wanted to bring a friend, and that kept happening until they had 60 people in their library. So that's how that often works. Now, people teach the topics. We recommend teaching the topics as much as you can. That'll be up to you, and it depends on how you do it. You could have a half-hour teaching that you did, an hour. As you learn more, you might combine topics and do 2 hours. This is what a lot of people do, and it's one of the ways they save time. When they're participating in more than one series, they teach both topics for that cycle in one meeting, in one gathering. They teach both topics. Now, This relates to picking your topics, and Diane was wondering about the topics and how to choose them. I'm not going to explain all the parts of each one of them because there's seven of them and it's too much. But on our website, we give a summary of each topic series, who that is for, and what it focuses on. And then it lists each of the eight topics with a description of that topic. And that's what you want to sort by. If those topics turn you on, like, oh, I want to know about that. I want to teach that. Oh, the people I know need to know that. Then that's how you choose your topic series. And we have really what's on the website is a way for you to advertise your talks. So you could schedule your talks for all of next year and create a flyer using that little ditty that it says about each topic to let people know what that talk's going to be about. That's what that's for, is to help with your advertising. You could put that right up on Meetup. So reading through that material really carefully and considering, like, does this intrigue me? Does this turn me on? Would this help the people that I want to help, either in my professional arena or by doing it as community education? Would this help them? This relates back to, well, let me finish the calls, and then I'm going to go back to how it relates to what Sylvia asked. So after you're teaching the topics, then you come back, and there's the third call. And the third call is called Teaching Adventures. And that's where you share with the other people in your series your challenges and your victories in teaching this to other people. And you can celebrate, you can commiserate, you get coaching from the trainer for that series, and it's awesome. In the second call where you share research, that's also a place where you get more clarification and you can ask questions. So out of every 5 weeks, there's three topics. There's the teaching topic call where you learn the new topic. There's the share research call where you share and there's clarification. Then there's a week off. Then there's a sharing adventures call. And then there's another week off. And during that week, people generally schedule their sign-off calls. So if you're in community education, you do what's called a sign-off call. And it's a 15-minute presentation of the topic, and then you have 10 minutes of feedback from the trainer in that series in order to keep elevating your ability to teach all topics. If you're in certification, at the end of that topic, so the day that the new topic starts, your research journal is due. You have more space, more time to do your demonstration, which lasts an hour. You give a 45-minute teaching, and you actually work with a volunteer and demonstrate to us your ability to teach that topic and to make a difference in someone else's life. And we give you feedback on that. Now, a couple of things about this. Whether it's a sign-off call or a demonstration call, because these happen on the telephone, they're recorded. They're recorded so that you can hear yourself and you can hear the feedback as many times as you need to, and then you can re-listen to yourself in light of the feedback, because some people are like a deer in headlights when they're getting feedback. For demonstration calls, when you're in certification, you have to create visual aids. You have to create your own handouts. Overall, the demand for your ability in demonstration over community education, 3 to 4 times higher, if not more. We're really, if you're in certification and we're putting our stamp on you and putting you up on our board, on our website, that you're someone we recommend people pay money to learn from, we're holding you to the standard that we're proud. We're proud of you representing our work. We would tell a friend to pay you money to teach them. So when you're looking at community education versus certification, That's the thing to weigh. There's a standard of excellence in certification. When you're doing community education, I'll be really honest with you. What we've learned is that our material makes a difference even when it's taught badly. So what we're looking for is, do you teach it good enough? In communication, in community education, do you teach it good enough to it have been worth people's time? Did you represent the topic accurately? Was how you were being with people supportive? Would it work for them? When you're in certification, was that person's life transformed? So it's a really different standard. I mentioned the research journals for demonstration. This is one of the places where time becomes a really big factor, and it all depends on if you listen to the instructions for what a research journal is. What we've seen this year, which was the first year of certification, is a lot of people wasted a lot of time doing something other than a journal. So the journal is literally a chronological report of, this is what I asked, this is what people said, this is how it affected me. This is what I asked, this is what people said, this is how it affected me. I talked to this man, he said this about the topic, this is how it affected the way I see the topic. It's literally a journal, like someone who writes in it every day or every time something exciting happens, you write in the journal. And you turn in the journal at the end of the series, at the end of that topic cycle, sorry. So you turn it in at the end of the topic, and it needs to be between 5,000 and 10,000 words. It can't be less than 5,000 words. You didn't do enough research, and you're not telling us enough about it for us to know you're owning this. And it needs not be more than 10,000 words. You're not being discerning. You're not sorting. You're just reporting everything. We don't need to know you put your socks on. So it's a place where you're recording the significant investigation of what you're learning. It's not a report. That's where people mess. They treated it like term papers, and they created these reports, and they edited the bejesus out of it. I was trying to look for not a swear word. They spent so much time polishing something that the polish actually took all the journal out of it. It made it useless to us, and we had to send it back to them. So if you're actually doing a journal, the way that we are going to beat into your heads to do a journal, we'll probably do a special call on research journals. If you're doing it the way that we recommend, you're going to save a lot of time. You can rely on the 6 to 8 hours a week. If you go off on something else, we can't tell you how long it's going to take. If you do the research the way we tell you how to do it, that's another way to keep it between 6 to 8 hours for certification. We had people this year completely ignore the research questions we gave them in the first weekend and spend all kinds of time making up their own questions and getting lame answers that didn't help them at all and having to start all over again because they ignored the questions that we gave them. They decided they were going to invent how to research. It's really silly. I've been researching this stuff since 1991. I might know a little bit about the good questions to ask and how to go about it. So if you do the program the way that it's designed to do, you can count on 6 to 8 hours a week. If you're committed to reinventing every wheel and proving you have a better way, all bets are off. And you could spend a lot more time and actually not be successful. So obviously we don't recommend that. Okay, let me see if there's anything else I want to say about time. I know I've been giving you a lot of information about it. Wow, and there's actually 4 minutes left. Yes, isn't that interesting? Okay, I talked about audience. I talked about time, preparing your demonstration call. That could affect how much time. If you're someone who scripts everything, which we recommend you don't because that will make you a lousy teacher, that could take a lot of time. If you're someone who tries to memorize everything, which we recommend you don't because that will make you a lousy teacher, it could take a lot more time. You're probably getting a consistent theme. If you're doing things the way that you're comfortable doing it, that's different than our instructions, you could end up taking a whole lot more time than necessary. If you're really engaged in being a transformational teacher, you can count on the 6 to 8 hours a week. Okay. Let's see. I did that and that. I know I still haven't done Hero's Challenge. I did that guy. Oh, Corinne, the fifth weekend. Certification has a fifth weekend because I'm committed to empowering you. So the fifth weekend for Everything But Hero's Challenge is about transmitting to you our best practices that we've learned over 20 years of being in the business of transformation in these kinds of areas so that you can be successful with what you've invested so much time and money into. So that's what the fifth weekend is about. It's 2 days for Everything But Hero's Challenge because it's about the business of transformation, the business of teaching, and how do you translate everything you've learned in the program into best practices from a business point of view. Again, where that will be located depends upon who's registered in certification because we're going to try to find the least expensive option for the most number of people. Now, the fifth weekend for Hero's Challenge, I'll come back and talk about when I address that. Sylvia, your question, when you mix certification and community education, which is pretty normal, it's the difference between what you are charging for and you're representing yourself as a professional in versus information that you have as a resource. So you would say, I'm not certified in this. I've studied it, but I'm not certified it, but it's relevant to your question, so I'm going to share it with you. So you can dance between the two, and a lot of people do it, and they may get certified in one thing and do community education in the other thing so that they have the knowledge as a resource, but it's not what they're selling and it's not what they're advertising. It's the added value that they have for their people, and they don't construct their teachings or their therapy or their workshops around the community education part. They just have it in their toolbox. Given Extreme Queen, which I know you've done the workshop, and that with community education for dating and mating, I think you would be fine because you'd have the dating and mating as a resource for people you're teaching Extreme Queen to when they get hooked by that and that pulls them out of being a queen, you could help them with that. And when you're teaching the dating and mating to the teenagers, you'd have all of the Extreme Queen information from when you can see that, like, what they're really in the grip of is the ideal woman, you know, or what we call, and we have different names for these things, but, you know, they might be in the grip of the beast and they're competing with the seven B's, and it's having them totally lose themselves and not choose wisely because it's all about the benchmarks or how beautiful this boy is or, you know, how much money he has. So there's a lot of intersections between those two. And when Michelle told me that you were planning on doing that, I got really excited. I think it's a really good choice. Okay, it is 7 o'clock. Wow. This is amazing. Christine, that's not Christine Olson, about doing, you're interested in dating and mating, but you have no mastery in the area. That's actually wonderful. It's an amazing place to teach from, that you're in the midst of the discovery and the retraining yourself and the making better choices, conscious choices, that you're in the midst of it with them. That makes for some really powerful sharing, especially since you're committed to community education. That's a really, really good fit. And your discovery and research and transformation is going to make what you're contributing to other people very alive, very fresh, very beautiful. I hope you don't lose it. I hope you don't lose that you just don't have to be an expert. Like, have proved it in your life. You have to be engaged in it in your life for it to matter. Okay, so I think I did that. Carola, you would have to look at the topics and all the descriptions of the topics to see if any of them fit with what you're already planning to do. And if you're in certification, you would be trained and certified and have the permission to completely integrate that with your own material and sell that. You would completely have the ability to do that. Beverly, you asked about a question that has two parts of it that I have to separate. So you asked about the diversity of mastery and what are my goals towards facilitators of the various programs. So I'm just a little worried about the word facilitators because this is the messenger program. This isn't about training people to be workshop leaders for PACs that we put in front of our rooms. This is about you taking this information out into your world and your professions and translating it into business, into therapy, into medicine, into Christianity, into Judaism, into Hare Krishna, into Buddhism. We had people take them to all kinds of religions, into accountant speak. We've had people do that. We've had people translate it into Chinese, Russian, Spanish, German, Latvian. It's amazing what people translate it into. So I just had to address the facilitators part. As far as diversity, I am a diversity. I'm huge on diversity. I'm limited in what I can cause in terms of diversity, but we have the youngest ever mastery participant who completed the program was 19 when she started. The oldest is 74 when he finished. And we have other people in their 70s who've done it. We have men and women, single, dating, married for ages, with and without kids. We've had ministers, doctors, CEOs, executive coaches and trainers, teachers at every level from elementary school through a university professor. Who now uses the Queen's Code as a textbook at the University of Northridge, University of California, Northridge. The diversity is astonishing. And then there's the community of everybody's committed to the same thing, which is what's so beautiful, because they're there because they want to contribute to other people. If it's just about you, do our workshops. If it's about contributing to others, that's what mastery's for. So I hope that answers that question. Most people have a full-time job when they're doing it. I would recommend if your job is instability, if your job is confined, if your job leaks all over the place and escapes a 40- or 50-hour work week and becomes 60 and 80 and overlaps on the weekends and you're on call, that's really challenging, and you may want to wait until you have a handle on that. Wow. Now, when you're in mastery, I will teach you not to talk so fast and and to pause so people can think about what you've said. So I would encourage you to re-listen to this, to re-listen to the recording, which will be posted on our website very soon, and hit your own pause button when you need to think. Okay, so let me just check and see. Wow, there are 14 of you still here. And let's see. That's Hero's Challenge. That's Hero's Challenge. I did that. That's Hero's Challenge. So I'm looking at Ashley, Athena, Christine Olson, and Mandy is specifically interested in Hero's Challenge, which I'm going to address next. Claudia, your question about topics recommended, how many you can combine your research. So like if you have a group of people you get together on the phone and you ask the research questions of, you can combine research between different topics and reduce the amount of time. So it's not, you know, 4 to 6 hours for community ed and 6 to 8 for each one. You can combine in there. We actually have people in this year's program doing 4 topics and 3 topics. More than half of this year's group does 2 topics. We have someone getting certified in 3 topics. She's a maniac. I love her. She and her husband come from Switzerland. She's doing 3 topics. He's doing the 4th one. But this is her profession. She leads workshops, transformational workshops, mostly for women. So she's chasing it down like crazy. We have someone doing certification in 1 topic and community education in all the other 3, and she specializes in finding the linkages between them. The recommendation would be more specific to your life circumstances, and if you want to talk to somebody, if you need personal attention, the thing to do would be to email melissa@understandmen.com and put in the subject line 2015 mastery, and let her know that you'd like to some more advice in looking at your particular circumstances. And Melissa can help with that. Something she does. She's the coordinator for the program. She's been in every program since the beginning. In it and as an administrator and coordinator, and she, people were just acknowledging her last week for helping them sort out the right thing for them. So Melissa, melissa@understandmen.com can help you sort out numbers of topics, which topic. She can answer a lot of questions for anybody. Okay, so we did that. Audience, topics, gathering, interest. Okay, good. All right, so, wow, there's so many of you still here. It's the cutest thing ever. I love you. Okay, so before I launch into Heroes Challenge, I'm just going to give everyone the mic a moment to say goodbye in case you're going to leave us. So everyone has the mic at once. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you.
You're
welcome.
Thank you so much.
There'll be more introductory dates posted, and if you have more questions for me, you can always be on another call and post a different question. I won't get tired of you, and you can get that individual attention from Melissa. So thank you, and I'm going to go ahead and continue into Heroes Challenge. So I'll go ahead and mute us again, and good night for those of you who are going to leave us now. Okay, so Heroes Challenge specifically. This is amazing, your questions about Heroes Challenge. Okay, so first let me talk about the way that Heroes Challenge exists at PAX, and because that's really important in your consideration for this. We're not looking to train people to be Heroes Challenge leaders for the company, like that we hire you and we book and fill the courses and then you lead it. We actually don't, with the exception of me leading the Heroes Challenge, the other Heroes Challenge leaders are in a strategic partnership with us where we market their courses. They schedule their courses. They schedule their locations. They set up, they handle everything logistically for their course. And we advertise it on our site, and we accept registrations, and we process all the credit cards and everything so they don't have to set up a whole business money-wise. And we keep a royalty, if you will. It's an acknowledgement from them of 12% and 3% for covering the credit card charges. So you don't have to have us market your courses. You can market them yourselves and not pay that 15%. Or when you're certified, you can have us market your courses, and that's part of it. So it's something you do independently as part of an existing business or creating a business, and we're in partnership with you, but we don't employ you. So that's something important to understand. In answer to Christine's question about male and female leaders, when we started out, we had co-leaders of male and female, and we thought that the workshop required it, and then we found out it didn't. We had our female leaders leading on their own with fabulous results, and we had our male leaders leading on their own with fabulous results. A funny thing is all the other leaders have led on their own. I am leading on my own for the first time this weekend. So I'll learn a lot about what it's like leading as a woman without men and what you have to do. The men have been learning a lot about leading without women, and they actually requested that we have this training program because they like it better to lead with a woman, and they want more women leaders qualified to lead it that they can hire to come lead with them. So they put on the course and hire the female leader to come co-lead. So you can do it individually, and you can do it together. Okay, so that's an answer to that question. Do I intend to balance Heroes Challenge between male and female? Nope, I have no commitment to that. I hope to have women in the training program since the men have requested them of me, but I'm not going to make sure that that happens. Because the right people is more important than the gender of the people. The answer, your first question, Christine, I'm going to answer that for you by email because it's really specific to you being a regional manager and an event leader, so I'll answer that one about by email. I already did that. Okay, so we did those. The other questions about Heroes Challenge. Athena, you had asked about is it a good combination? Would it go well, the Heroes Challenge and Liberating with Honor? I think it would go well. There would be times when you would have a kind of overlap in two of the topics. So noble healing and noble forgiveness would be part of the Heroes Challenge because you have to teach it and facilitate it in a Heroes Challenge in a particular way specific to men. And you would have a different in-depth relationship to the phenomenon of noble healing and noble forgiveness from Liberating with Honor, because that is not just teaching the process so that it can happen in a workshop, but it's teaching the process so that individuals can provide it for other individuals at a very high level, and you can provide it at a high level. So there's a different twist in those topics, and there's a different commitment in you learning and teaching those topics depending on which series you're in. But I think given how extraordinarily healing Heroes Challenge is from beginning to end, that by healing I also mean liberating. Heroes Challenge is liberating. Like the freedom the men leave with is extraordinary. And in Heroes Challenge, the design of Heroes Challenge, we use all the methods, or what we call spaces. So there's spaces that liberate people. So the second topic in Liberating with Honor, what's the accountability of a healer? A healer or liberator is providing spaces in which people heal and free themselves, and we provide all those spaces in Heroes Challenge. So if you were in both of those topics, the richness you could bring from Liberating with Honor to Hero's Challenge would be awesome. It's really exciting to me, actually. Is getting certified in both of those a massive effort? Well, yeah. Do you have, 12 to 16 hours a week to spend on mastery? It can be any 12 to 16 hours a week. All the calls are recorded. You can listen to them, at your own pace. You can work all night. You can teach at different times. Hero's Challenge, you really need to teach in person. You're not going to get away with telephone teaching. How much free time you have. If you had a concern about it, if you're committed to Hero's Challenge, then I would, since it's only available as certification, and I can tell you guys why, I would do certification in Hero's Challenge and do ComEd, Community Education with Liberating with Honor, so that you can apply yourself to that topic as you have the space to. And I think that's actually a really good marriage. Someone else had asked, was it a good combination, Hero's Challenge and Empowering Men? It's a very similar answer, because in Hero's Challenge, you'll notice in the description of the topics, you're teaching a topic that has to do with the characteristics of men. And we call it the characteristics of the Ferrari. So given the three instincts and the priority of the three instincts that drive men, what are the characteristics that men have consistent with those instincts? So you're going to teach that, right? You're going to focus on all those characteristics in one period. This is intense. This is devouring. This is going to the buffet and eating all of it. When you got to being certified in teaching Hero's Challenge, if you had the Empowering Men series, what you'd have is you would have such a depth to many of the different parts. Like, one of the characteristics is transition time. You would have spent an entire 5 weeks on using transition time to empower men. One of the characteristics is single focus. You would have spent an entire 5 weeks on using single focus to connect with men. One of the characteristics is the amazing development of men. We don't focus on that in Hero's Challenge, but you'd have it to lead from. The stages of development, you'd have it to lead from. You'd be, as someone asked a question, you'd be able to see a king asking a question versus a knight or a prince or someone in a tunnel or an elder. So, again, like the Liberating with Honor combination with Hero's Challenge, the Empowering Men combination with Hero's Challenge would be huge. It would be huge. Now, whether or not you did certification for both of them, would actually, if you were certified in both, you could provide killer one-on-one coaching to your graduates of the course. Like, you would be, what you could provide for them, the level that you could become a personal coach for them or executive coach for them would be off the charts. If you did it, and you could charge for it, obviously. If you did it, if you did Empowering Men as a community education track, then it's going to illuminate, enrichen, and enliven, and create such a depth to you talking about what you're talking about in Hero's Challenge. It's going to be extraordinary. So a similar recommendation as my recommendation before to Athena about the combination of those two. Mandy, you had asked about, besides doing it with Empowering Men, you had asked if you've never done certification before. That's such a great question. I love that question. people who participate in Mastery for the second or third or fourth time, which, yes, they've done that, definitely have an advantage because some people are kind of freaked out the first time they do Mastery, and there's a lot to take in and just to figure out how to do the program. When people come back to it, they already know. They've worked out research journals. They've worked out demo calls. They've worked out, like, there's so much already in the background. And so I wouldn't kid you that they'll have an advantage from having done it before. They might have some bad habits to correct as well because they might have been doing things the hard way. But I wouldn't worry about never having done it before that would disqualify you in some way. I'll tell you the most important thing about a woman in the Heroes Challenge track is there's skills you'll have to develop to lead that workshop that are counter-instinctual. So when I lead this weekend, I will never talk as fast as I talk tonight. I will never use as many details or examples as I did tonight. As a woman, you have to learn how to speak concisely. You have to train yourself to always tell the plan ahead of time. You have to train yourself to always tell men the point and how they win in every section, what is their work to do, and you have to create transitions. So leading Heroes Challenge, you actually have to implement the Empowering Men series and be it in the front of the room. Now, those skills any woman can learn who's committed to it. What really matters the most for a female Heroes Challenge leader is that you truly celebrate men, that you adore them, you love how they are, you're fascinated by how they are, you think it's so cool the way they're put together, and they're going to get to spend 2 days with a woman who doesn't think there's anything wrong with them, with a woman who doesn't think they're misbehaving, with a woman who sees them and honors them and respects them and wants them to run their lives. So that's what matters the most, is how do you relate to men? Why would you want to teach a Heroes Challenge? What are you committed to in your relationship to men that you'd want to do it? The other things can be learned. Okay, so I think I did Mandy, and I think I'm checking to make sure that I covered all the Heroes Challenge. I answered Christine's. I talked about Athena's. Fence between time to do this year or the following, Ashley, you may want to talk to Melissa. There's only one thing that I can't promise you. We don't promise to teach the same series from one year to the next. And I also don't threaten to not teach it again. So there's a balance between working it out to do it this year because it might not exist the following year, but then it might exist the following year, or realizing that it's not going to work and take your chances on it not existing the following year. So that would be the little bit tricky thing for you. Okay, so what I'm going to do, you guys are still here. I'm so moved by this. So what I want to do is see if there are any follow-up questions about the Heroes Challenge. And I said I was going to talk about why it's only certification. This is the first time ever that we are going to teach you how to lead a course. And it's why there's a 3-day fifth weekend just for Heroes Challenge folks to make sure you know how to lead it and lead each section and transition from one to the next. We're entrusting you with a workshop that we designed. Extreme Queen had many of the topics from the Extreme Queen workshop, and it actually had most of them, and it had some that we are now going to do in an Extreme Queen workshop, but we developed some. But we're not teaching people how to lead that workshop because it's so advanced and has so many requirements to make people receptive to it. So this is the first time for us to teach people to lead a workshop, and that's why it's only certification. We're requiring that level of expertise and professionalism to turn this over to folks. We're not willing to do that at the community education level. So if anyone has a follow-up question about Heroes Challenge or about anything I've said about mastery, I know we're going into an hour and a half, which is wild and crazy, but I'm committed to empowering you all. Registration opens next Wednesday, and I want to give you everything you need to be able to make this decision. So if you have a follow-up question, would you press 1 on your keypad, and then I will check in with you and see if I can take care of you. And obviously, everyone's welcome to go when you need to. You can listen to the last part of the recording if you want to come back to it where time allows. Christine, you have the microphone. The Christine that is Christine Olson.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Two questions, which are, so for people doing remote certification for Heroes Challenge, would it be appropriate for us to plan on coming to the 5th weekend, and is that included in the tuition?
You have to come to the 5th weekend, and it is included
Great.
In the tuition.
Great.
Yeah,
thank
you're
you
welcome.
So much.
Thank you for how you are. Anyone else have a follow-up question? That was the only hand that was up. Ask about anything. Karen, I see that you joined us. Okay, so Beverly.
Could you repeat Melissa's contact information again, please?
Sure. It's melissa@understandmen.com. And it's just spelled the traditional way, M-E-L-I-S-S-A. Her last name is Mednick, but it's melissa@understandmen.com.
Thank you.
She'll email you back and set up a time to talk. You're welcome. You're very welcome. Thanks for asking that. And Cynthia, you have the microphone.
Yes. I wanted to see if you had any suggestions as to how to come up with the fundraisers or any types of ways to come up with the tuition?
Oh, what a great question. Thank you. So we formulated the way that people handle their tuition this year in order to help the most people operating in a pay-as-you-go kind of way. So what people have done in the past is they have done a variety of things. So they've raised money ahead, so they've asked for people to sponsor them in the program, either with money for their tuition, with frequent flyer miles, for their travel, for hotel points, for their hotel rooms. And I really like it when people get sponsors because that means you're accountable to somebody. And it's
exactly.
a good way to put yourself on the hook. Yeah, it's awesome. And how you do it is you share. You share with people why you want to do this program and who you want to contribute to and ask would they be willing to sponsor you and be one of the people that you're accountable to for getting everything you can out of the program and providing it for, and then you fill in the blank who you're committed to providing it for. And sometimes they're someone who what they're doing is they're paying ahead. They're like a community supported agriculture for a farmer. They're providing the seed money and they're going to get part of the harvest. So they're going
right.
they're paying in advance, you know, they're making a donation in advance for your teachings, right? That they get to come
right.
to every 5 weeks.
Right.
That's one way that people do it. Another way that people do it is I just thought of this other thing that I should ask Melissa to do. One of our participants this year created a great fundraising letter, and I should ask Melissa to post it somewhere as an example for people. I got to make a note for that, or I will completely forget it. So the other thing that people do is they take what they call love offerings, and which you're completely allowed to do when you're in community education, and that's where you do a teaching and you ask for people to make a donation to cover the costs of your program. So if you're in community education, for example, and you're paying your $295 each month, if you had, if you're actually one of the requests of the program is that you teach at least 10 different people every month. So if you had 10, if you only taught 10 people and they each contributed $30 to the cost of you being in the program, they'd be making your payment plan for you and giving you $5 towards your coffee when you're at the weekend.
Right.
So that's another way that you can do it is you can take donations that way. And some people, they just reach out to men, you know, and say, I want to make the world a better place for men. And
right.
I can't afford to do this on my own. Would you support me? And they just end up with these angels that who are so excited about people doing this work.
Right.
Now, if you're doing certification, people in certification, they charge while they're teaching. They're incorporating it into their practices, their professional practices, or they're starting new businesses, and they go ahead and they charge for their teachings, and they're worth paying. The level that they're teaching at is really fabulous. Does that help?
Okay. Yes, it helps a lot. And if I'm in certification and someone's paying, how do I determine what that fee should be? Do I determine that, or is there's a sort of a guideline to go through to use?
You get to decide.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't interact with that. You're professionals, and you're the one that gets to set your fees. We would never prescribe that for people.
Okay. I didn't know if there was a suggested retail price. Okay.
That's always a tricky thing with transformation, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Beverly.
It.
You're welcome. Any more questions? Do you have any other questions, Beverly?
No.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is Cynthia.
This is Beverly. Oh, sorry, this is Cynthia. I totally
Cynthia.
Knew that. Thank you, Cynthia. Sorry about that. And, Beverly, I answered your question, right?
That's correct.
Or am I getting so tired? I did. Okay, I'm just losing my mind. All right, thank you. It's late. All right, so that's all that I show for people having questions. So I'm going to open up the microphone again so we can say goodnight to each other. I think it's amazing 10 of you stayed on here the whole time. And probably the last thing I would say is mastery is the most important thing that I do and an expression of what I'm most passionate about. I made a list. I made a list of my top 10 passions and at least 8 of them happen in mastery, and sometimes all 10 of them happen in mastery. So it means a lot to me that you're considering participating in it. Okay, so you all have the microphone. We can say goodnight.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Allison. You're welcome.
Thank you, Allison.
You're very welcome. My pleasure. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.